I am still giving him pieces of my mind. And Willie is still as approachable and supportive today as ever. Conference, I am pleased to say that his dress sense has improved since our first meeting in the Highlands. The haircut, though, has remained the same. Another thing that has not changed is his approach to campaigning. As you will know, if you need his help, if there are doors to be knocked, then he is the man for the job. He is every bit as passionate and energetic a campaigner now as he ever was. After one local event in Dingwall, he said to me, "Right, Angela, let's go out and speak to all the shop owners. I want to know what are their priorities." Hours later, with darkness setting in, we had been around every shop in the high street, talked to the person behind every counter, and then faced a mad dash to get to the station in time for his train. I was slightly frantic by this stage, but nothing fazed Willie. One conference I remember attending, a political speed dating event, that gave us the chance to meet MPs and MSPs. While the politicians moved around the room, I spoke to a lovely couple who I discovered to my surprise were Willie's parents, who had paid to attend. I asked them what they were doing there, to be told in no uncertain terms, "He is so busy, this is the only chance we get to see him." I should also say that they were enormously proud of what he has achieved and his commitment to making a difference for the people he represents, not only to our party, but Scotland as a whole. Conference, I believe that we are extremely and enormously lucky to have Willie as our leader. Please join me in welcoming him to the stage.
It's my mother's 80th birthday tomorrow. We've got a special celebration on. But she's still delivering leaflets, along with my dad, who is 81. Angela, when we were in the high street in Dingwall, what was noticeable and what was quite remarkable was that she knew absolutely everybody, and everybody absolutely respected her. Thank you, Angela, for what you said. And thanks to everyone who sent their kind wishes following my period of absence from the political stage. I was undergoing an operation to replace a mangled disc in my neck. It was an emergency, not for any medical reasons, because our campaign director, Adam Stakura, said it was hindering my canvassing technique. Lying on the theatre trolley in the hospital as the needle was about to be injected into my hand, the doctor declared she knew exactly who I was. It was even more alarming that she looked remarkably like Nicola Sturgeon. I started to wonder if Alex Salmond would emerge from behind the curtain with a scalpel in his hand and his foot on the oxygen pipe. Of course, the treatment was excellent. Mr. Ballantyne and his staff at Dundee's Ninewells Hospital were a great team. Great care, brilliant staff, our NHS. Thank you very much. However, even when in recovery, I couldn't resist. I was watching very closely. Alison MacInnes stood in for me at First Minister's Questions. She was doing so well, I had to return from work early. Left any longer, and there might not have been a job for me to return to. So thank you, Alison. Thank you for the work you did. You were brilliant. In her first question, she asked about mental health. This built on Jim Hume's sterling work, which included a debate in Parliament that secured support from right across all the parties. Just as we strive for ever-rising standards of care for physical illness, we must set equally high standards for mental illness. In the middle of Dunfermline, not very far away from here, there's a house. It's a very ordinary looking house, but inside that ordinary house, some extraordinary things happen with extraordinary people. The Scottish Association for Mental Health run a service called Going Forth. I was a board member and saw firsthand the work that they did. It's a social space. It's a place where people can access training, advice on benefits, and courses on confidence building. The support staff help people reach their dreams and their goals. One client said this: "The service helps me realise that although I have a mental health problem, I also have a life that is worth living for." We know that one in four people are likely to suffer from mental health problems at some point in their lives. But equally, an opinion survey showed that almost one in four people were not comfortable to make friends with someone with depression, to have them as a work colleague, or even for them to move in next door. Now, the UK Coalition Government has written into law that for the first time ever, mental health and physical health will receive equal recognition. Achieving that equality is essential to improving people's well-being and delivering significant improvements in the way our health services work. Getting the right combination of public mental health, anti-stigma, timely access to therapy, and reliable crisis and emergency care will all be part of the picture. Our young people are facing long waits to bring treatment at mental health services. Too many wait 6 months to access treatment. That is an indefensible waiting time for a young person at such an important time in their lives. So I make a plea to the new First Minister. Let's work together to change attitudes, to reduce that stigma, and to guarantee that people with mental illness are treated equally to those with physical illness. In her programme for government, to be announced just next week, let there be a new mental health bill to give mental health the boost that it needs, to tackle stigma, to improve lives, to give everyone a chance. Let's make that happen next week. George Lyne. One of my greatest disappointments this year was losing George. For 5 great years, he served us well. He negotiated with governments across the continent on the budget, led for Scotland on agricultural reform, and won huge special funds for our country. When he was our MEP, farmers gained. The rural community advanced. Scotland won. George, you should be proud of your achievements, and today we salute your energy, determination, and above all, grace under pressure. You are an inspiration for us all. The referendum was the biggest democratic experience of my life. Britain will never be the same again. Although we won, 2 million people are apparently not convincing enough to close the issue for a generation after all. The growth in the nationalist movement must be a red warning that we cannot return to politics as usual. There must be no complacency. We must treat every election from now on as if independence could be